You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Nickbot Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, it just makes me so happy when people come up to me and say, man, I love that Pella commercial I see on TV. I love it. I get text messages. I get people stopping me and telling me about it. And it's really cool. My experience with Pella was top notch, from the showroom in Omaha all the way to the service, the finished product. It was just first class the whole way. The people there are amazing. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nickbot Podcast is brought to you by Shoot 360 Lincoln. My brother and I are owners of the world's most advanced basketball training facility right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's a membership-based national franchise that uses NBA-level technology that provides real-time feedback after every single shooting, passing, and ball handling rep you take inside of our facility. And we have an amazing website that has a ton of good information on it. Shoot360Lincoln.com. Shoot360Lincoln.com. You can learn more about the facility, the amazing technology, what we offer, camps, clinics, classes, personal training, and so, so much more. So check us out, shoot360lincoln.com. And this podcast is brought to you by the Autograph app. The Autograph app was co-founded by Tom Brady. This app is pretty cool, man. It is amazing. Think of it as like a rewards program. Like, you know, you have like airline rewards or maybe like a coffee rewards shop or whatever. But the rewards are for being a fan and doing what you do as a fan in terms of reading about your team, listening to podcasts about your team, just like this one. It's all on the app for your favorite team. So you download the Autograph app, you click the teams you like, you consume the coverage, and the more you use it, the more points you earn, which then unlocks rewards for you. Pretty cool. Download the Autograph app and use the code BAHE, B-A-H-E. That's code BAHE, B-A-H-E. Do it today. All right, here we go. Creighton, Tennessee, Sweet 16. Blue Jays advanced to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. And I remember Bill Self telling our team when I was a freshman at Kansas, I remember him saying, you know, guys, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament's fun to be a part of. There's no doubt about that. But the real fun is in the second weekend. That's when you really get to feel it. And he's kind of right. Just making the tournament is a huge honor and the goal of most players and teams. And don't get me wrong, it is amazing. It is an honor and all those things. But the second weekend, it's different. It hits a little different. The reality is, this was the goal for this Creighton group, right? Kalkbrenner, Trey Alexander, Baylor Scheinman, those guys came back for this moment. They were in the Elite Eight last year in Louisville. They got to this weekend of the tournament last year, and it's all been kind of building up to this. And, you know, Creighton is going to have their hands full with this matchup. So to kind of let you into my mind, throughout the year, I kind of do this thing where I just am kind of making a mental checklist of teams that I really like. And by teams that I really like, I mean teams that I think could make a Final Four run, or at the very least be a kind of like a bracket buster, sleeper Cinderella type team. So I'm kind of making this like this list, if you will, the Nick Bah list. I do this for the high major power conference teams and with the mid majors that I see. And I don't do the easy thing of like the top two teams in the country, those are on my list. It's usually a mix. It's teams that could win it all, and then teams that I think like, ooh, that's a team that is going to be like a 12 seed and is going to mess somebody up. So it's a mixture of the two. This was my list I compiled over the course of watching games, calling games, all throughout the season as the NCAA tournament was getting started. This was my list before Selection Sunday. It was not including Creighton. It was UConn, Houston, Illinois, Yale, Duquesne, New Mexico, Clemson, Drake, when Kolek was healthy. Now, his injury made them kind of hard to assess. He clearly looked fine after what he looked like last weekend. And then lastly, Tennessee. Now, obviously, that's a unique mix of teams, right? I kind of have two groups for my list, if you will. Teams that I think can win a title, and I will try to take them to the Final Four if they don't intersect with another one of my top teams. And then teams that I think can break up a bracket, make a Cinderella Sweet 16 or Elite Eight kind of run. And so if you listen to my picks in my NCAA tournament region by region preview where I picked every single game, I had Yale upsetting Auburn and going to the Sweet 16. Yale beat Auburn but then lost to San Diego State in the second round. I had Duquesne upsetting BYU in the first round, which they did, and I would have picked them to go a little bit further, but they ran into one of my elite teams on my list in Illinois. I had Drake making the Sweet 16 because of Tucker DeVries and Coach DeVries, but they got beat in the first round. They kind of pissed away that game with a late lead, which they've done 2 years in a row, which is unfortunate. And then, unfortunately, New Mexico and Clemson were two teams that were on my list, but they got matched up in the first round. So I had to kind of choose between the two. I felt like whoever won that game was going to make a run to the second weekend of the tournament, and I chose wrong. I thought New Mexico was the hotter team, having just won the Mountain West Conference tournament, so I went with the Lobos, but it was Clemson that won that game and then beat Baylor and went to the Sweet 16. So that leaves five teams that I loved and were on my list. UConn and Illinois, they unfortunately will run into each other in the Elite Eight regional final in the East region. I chose UConn. We'll see if that happens. I think it will. Houston and Marquette, they unfortunately will run into each other in the Elite Eight. I chose Houston because of Kolek's uncertainty with his oblique injury. And then there was Tennessee. And who does Tennessee's path run into? The Creighton Blue Jays. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, Tennessee is a team I've loved all year. So needless to say, I think this game is going to be a war. Tennessee is the regular season SEC conference champs, and this Tennessee team is good. They have older, experienced guards, Zakai Ziegler, Santiago Vescovi in their backcourt. They have a superstar in Northern Colorado transfer, Dalton Connect, who is the SEC player of the year. And then they have some good big athletes in Jonas Adu, Tobe Awaka, Josiah Jordan-James, Jemiah Meshack. And, you know, even though he's been somewhat criticized for his March struggles over the course of his coaching career, Rick Barnes does have over 800 career wins, okay? So this team is for real. And it all starts on the defensive end for Tennessee. Tennessee ranks third in KenPom's defensive efficiency rankings, third best in the country. And this is in line with what has been the identity with Tennessee over the last handful of years. Last 4 years, here is where Tennessee ranked at KenPom's defensive efficiency ranking. Third, first, third, fifth. They were the number one defense in the country last year, and it's a lot of the same guys. Greg McDermott said earlier this week, quote, "No disrespect to UConn, but I think Tennessee is the best defensive team we've seen all year." Now, I will say I'm not totally sure I am all the way on board with that, but we are splitting hairs here between those two teams because bottom line, they're both elite defensive teams. And Tennessee does it with physicality on the ball, pressuring the ball, turning you over. And while Zakai Ziegler, their 5'9 point guard, is the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, he is a pest on the ball, and he leads them in steals, but it's not just him. They have multiple guys that are active with great hands. So the number one key for this game for Creighton is taking care of the ball. Now, what's concerning is in a lot of Creighton's losses where they've struggled, this has been an issue, taking care of the ball. Like you think about the game at UConn, you know, the UNLV game, the Colorado State game, at Marquette, Villanova, at St. John's, some of the Providence games. Those teams just kind of pinned their ears back, heated up the ball, heated up Creighton's ball handlers, pressed Creighton out, and it bothered Creighton. So this is my number one concern with this game. Creighton's got to take care of the ball. I think this is a game where Trey Alexander's, the ball needs to be in Trey Alexander's hands a decent amount, like him being a secondary ball handler, depending on who Zakai Ziegler for Tennessee guards. If he guards Steven Ashworth, you know, could Ashworth get heated up a little bit? Maybe. So in that case, you just say, okay, Trey Alexander, you bring the ball up the floor and initiate some offense, which obviously Alexander is very capable of doing. But it's going to have to be 3 to 4 guards, including Francisco Farabello, stepping up, handling the ball, handling the pressure, handling the physicality. Now, the good thing is there are other ways to help yourself in terms of handling the on-ball pressure. And I'm not just talking about, sure, you can have Kalkbrenner sit at half court and run ball screens off of Kalkbrenner to get, you know, the defender on the ball off him. Like, I'm not talking about just that. The other ways to help yourself in terms of handling the on-ball pressure is with your defense and with your defensive rebounding. Because the more you get stops and the more you rebound the ball clean defensively and keep Tennessee off the offensive glass, the more open floor transition opportunities you will have to push it and attack and not have to go against the Tennessee set half-court defense, which is really, really good. If Creighton is consistently having to go against Tennessee's half-court defense, that's where Tennessee's size and physicality and ball pressure could really bother the Jays. But if Creighton's playing in space and playing in transition and attacking early in possessions before Tennessee's half-court defense gets completely set, that's when their pressure and size and physicality can get negated a little bit. So you got to get stops defensively, and you got to keep Tennessee off the offensive glass, because Tennessee is really good on the glass too. They'll crash pretty hard and go after missed shots. Tennessee ranked 67th in the country in offensive rebounding percentage. Now, if Creighton can get stops and rebound, if you think about it, a team that is crashing and sending four guys or whatever into the offensive glass, in theory, if you grab that rebound, outlet it, and run, you can have numbers and opportunities in the open floor. Now, most teams are kind of afraid of Creighton's transition offense, so they maybe send five guys back or just don't really completely crash to rebound offensively. But so we'll see what Tennessee does. Now, Tennessee on some made shots and some dead balls, mostly dead balls, they will pick up full court, but it's more of like deny the inbounds pass and then kind of just everybody falls back and they kind of pick up full court with whoever's bringing the ball up the floor. So there will be a little bit of full court pressure, but again, that goes into what I'm saying of like, if you can rebound the ball, outlet it, you can have transition opportunities. So the second key is going to be rebounding the ball, keeping Tennessee off the offensive glass. You know, because there, if you think about it, there is just a simple game and a simple kind of just math of this whole thing. And it's this. Creighton doesn't really crash the offensive glass. They don't get a bunch of offensive rebounds. Creighton doesn't force turnovers. In fact, Creighton ranks dead last in the country. It's 362nd out of 362 teams in turnover percentage defensively. Nobody forces less turnovers percentage-wise than Creighton does in all of college basketball. And then Creighton ranks 273rd in the country in offensive rebound percentage. So I say that to say that if Creighton's turning the ball over and Creighton's getting hit on the offensive glass, it's just hard for them to make up all those extra possessions that they're giving Tennessee. It would be hard for the Blue Jays to overcome all that. So taking care of the ball, keeping Tennessee off the offensive glass are the top two keys in this one. My best kind of like visual analogy to give all of you guys mentally in this is, and this was kind of sparked with the conversation I was having with John Bishop on the flight to Detroit. Think of the two UConn games Creighton played this year. The game at UConn and then the UConn game in Omaha. In the first game at UConn, Creighton constantly was having to go against UConn's half-court set defense. Not a lot of transition opportunities, not a lot of free-flowing offense in the open floor. And that's where UConn's pressure in the half-court, on the ball, the physicality, ate the Blue Jays up. And I think Creighton scored, 48 points in that game? Yuck. But in the game in Omaha, Creighton was able to push it, play in space, and that's when they were able to free themselves up a little bit more and play in the open floor, and they had way more success. That's kind of how I look at this game. Big news, I'm excited to be working with Autograph, co-founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to this podcast, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. Download the free Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today and use the referral code BAH, my last name, B-A-H-E. That's referral code BAH, B-A-H-E. See you at the game. If Creighton is having to play solely in the half court against Tennessee's half court defense, I think Creighton could be in big trouble. But if Creighton can run and get out in the open floor and play in space, I think that's where Tennessee's size and physicality and ball pressure will be negated. I mean, Creighton scored 48 points at UConn and then scored 85 at home against UConn. Like, just that's almost, 30, 40 point difference there. Now, to be fair, I don't want to paint Tennessee like they want to walk the ball up the floor and want the game in the 50s or anything like that. Tennessee will want to play fast offensively too. In fact, Tennessee's tempo numbers are actually faster than Creighton's, which is great. Because I think Creighton is much better suited in this matchup to get the game played fast than slow. But that all starts with defense and rebounding and keeping Tennessee off the offensive glass. And to me, all that starts with defending Dalton Knecht for Tennessee. Knecht, again, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, and he's a very interesting story. Here are the last 4 years for Dalton Knecht. He was at a JUCO. Then he had 2 years at Northern Colorado, and then he transferred to Tennessee, and he's boomed the SEC Player of the Year. 6'6", long, big-time scorer, big-time shooter, capable of huge nights. 21 points per game, but he's had 6 games with 30 or more points, and he had one 40-point game this year. His movement off the ball, really good, running along the baseline, coming off pin downs. He's good at drawing fouls and attacking the basket as well. He's more of a shooter than he is a slasher, but he's certainly capable of putting the ball in the deck and getting to the rack. I think Baylor Shireman, my guess is he will draw the assignment. Baylor Shireman needs to maybe have his best defensive game of the year because they are really reliant on Knecht offensively. Dalton Knecht has taken 201 more shots than anyone else on Tennessee's team. That's a pretty big discrepancy. They do a lot to get to Knecht shots, and if he is rolling, look out. He's one of the, you write down a handful of players, and maybe a 3 or 4 or 5 players, there's not anybody more electric when they are hot than Dalton Knecht in the country. But if he doesn't have it rolling, I think Tennessee's offense is just okay. Tennessee ranks 29th at KenPom's offensive adjusted efficiency ranking. And of all the Sweet 16 teams left, Tennessee ranks 13th out of 16 in offensive efficiency. So that's towards the bottom. Like, the only teams that are less efficient than them offensively are Iowa State and San Diego State. And, you look at those teams and you go, yeah, those are teams and NC State, excuse me. Like, those are the teams that can kind of struggle to score. So they can have some issues offensively if Knecht isn't rolling. And if you can slow Knecht down, keep Tennessee off the offensive glass, don't turn the ball over, there is a world where Tennessee can kind of struggle to score at times. They're just an okay three-point shooting team outside of Dalton Knecht. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they have a bunch of, bricklayers out there. Like, they have a few guys. Ziegler can kind of shoot it. Vescovi can kind of shoot it. They have a couple of guys that are capable. So there definitely is a path to victory here for Creighton. It's just going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of toughness. Take care of the ball against Tennessee's physicality and ball pressure. That's tough to do. Keep Tennessee off the offensive glass. That's tough to do. Slow down the SEC Player of the Year, Dalton Kincaid. That's tough to do. But it's doable. So the keys are turnovers, keeping the balls off the offensive glass, slowing down Kincaid, and then lastly, the three-point line. Looking at the numbers, so let's go on this ride with me here for a second. So Tennessee's three-point field goal percentage defense is pretty good. 29th in the country, holding teams to 30.9% shooting from the three. But chew on this, going a little deeper. Tennessee ranks 300th in the country in three-point field goal attempts per game allowed. They allow opponents to shoot 24.1 threes per game. Tennessee ranks 208th in the country in three-point field goals made per game for their opponents. Teams have made 7.5 threes per game against Tennessee. Tennessee ranks 310th in the country in percentage of total field goal attempts given up being threes, meaning in terms of total field goal attempts your defensive allows, okay? What percentage of those total field goal attempts are three-point field goal attempts? Does that make sense? Tennessee allows teams to take 41.5% of their shots from three. Tennessee has had 17 games this year where they've allowed their opponents to shoot 25 or more threes. And Tennessee has had 9 games this year where they've given up 10 or more made threes against them. I say all that to say, I think Creighton is going to be able to get off and attempt threes. Based on how Creighton obviously wants to play, but mostly because of those numbers I just gave you. And the reason for that is Tennessee really overhelps and collapses on penetration, leaving that three-point line vacant. But they collapse on penetration to steal the ball, to swipe at the ball. So it's not like you can just casually drive the ball into the paint and kick it out to Baylor Shireman with ease for a three. No. You got to be strong as hell when you take it into the paint against Tennessee, make a strong read, and pass out to the three-point line. So if Creighton is strong with the ball, gets into the paint, and sprays it out, I think they will be able to get a good amount of threes up. Which is huge. Because obviously, on the whole, the three-point line is massively important for Creighton. 48.7% of Creighton's field goal attempts are threes. That's seventh most in the country. Almost half of Creighton's shots are threes. 39.9%, so almost 40% of Creighton's points come from the three-point line. That's 11th most in the country. So a huge part of the way Creighton scores, Creighton needs to take and make threes. And so I think as long as Creighton is strong with the ball, they will be able to get threes up. The question is, can they make them? If they do, and they take care of the ball, and they rebound, and they push the pace, and they slow down Dalton Kincaid, I like Creighton's chances a lot. Now, all of that is easier said than done. But like I said a second ago, there is a path here to victory. No question about it. Quick look at Creighton's kind of, I just want to go down Creighton's players here and just the rotation and just kind of quick thoughts on what I think the Jays need from this game. So Steven Ashworth, got to handle the ball. Be strong and handle the pressure from Zakai Ziegler. Fight dribble penetration against Zakai Ziegler as well, and then you got to make your open threes. But the big thing is Steven Ashworth needs to handle the ball and handle it early. I've always felt like when I was playing against teams that pressured, if I showed vulnerability early, they smelled blood, and I was gonna get heated up the whole game. But if you handle it early, I'm not saying they're gonna back off you, but they're not gonna smell blood and really sink their teeth into you as much. So you got to handle the ball. But that could be challenging for Ashworth because Ziegler, 5'9", again, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, good player. Trey Alexander, again, really need his playmaking and ball handling. He needs to be the primary ball handler quite a bit to deal with the pressure, especially if Ziegler is on Ashworth. Now, I could see Ziegler getting switched on to Trey Alexander, but we'll see. Now, Trey Alexander is the most dynamic player with the ball on Creighton's team, and against a team that pressures, you need that guy to have a big day. There could be some moments where he slides over on to connect, so he needs to be good there too. And of course, you got to hit your open threes. Baylor Shireman, defend, connect, chase, connect, Dalton, connect. Baylor Shireman needs to have a great day defensively. Chasing, fighting through screens, making things tough on connect. And then Shireman needs to have another monster day on the defensive glass, like he usually does, but he really needs to be rebounding the ball defensively. And then offensively, just, you know, more of doing what he's been doing. I think he needs to be a good secondary ball handler and creator, push it in transition, and then when he gets his open threes, he's got to knock them down. Ryan Kalkbrenner, you know, if you look at it, Tennessee has allowed some good games from the top bigs that they've seen. Zach Edey against Tennessee had 23.7 rebounds. Hunter Dickinson against Tennessee had 17 points, 19 rebounds, and Armando Bacot had 22 points and 9 rebounds. And all three of those, Purdue, Kansas, and North Carolina, all beat Tennessee. And their superstar big guys had good games. So I think Ryan Kalkbrenner could have a good day offensively. He's got to be a good screener, got to be rolling at that rim, finishing at the rim, and then, of course, doing what he's done for three straight years and defending the rim. Mason Miller, make your open threes, fight your ass off on defense. It will be interesting to see how Greg McDermott manages that power forward spot, you know, that fifth spot on the floor. You know, it'll be interesting to see how much Mason Miller plays because there are lineups where Tennessee can go big and athletic and Mason Miller could have issues defending the four with it when in that spot. But Mason Miller can shoot the life out the ball, so we'll see. Jason Green, could be another game where Green is needed for his bigger body and athleticism. I mean, he played great and was the unsung hero in that Oregon game with 9 rebounds and 4 points. There's a world where he might have to play 15 to 20 minutes again, depending on Tennessee's lineups and if Mason Miller's making threes and hanging in there on defense. But Green's needs to be getting ready to roll again. And then Francisco Farabello, just go be what he's been. You know, handle the ball, be solid, don't turn it over. If he gets 3 open threes, go 2 of 3, you know. But the biggest thing to me is just handle the ball. Be solid with the ball. Because maybe Ashworth struggles with the pressure or whatever, and you need another ball handler out there. Francisco Farabello's got to be able to be strong, poised, and handle it. So there you go. Again, there's a path to victory, man. It's simple. Take care of the ball. Keep Tennessee off the offensive glass. Slow down Dalton Connect. Play in space. Push it and play with tempo. And then make your open threes. If Creighton does those things, they're going to the Elite Eight. I think they can, and I think they will. I think Creighton's going to win this game. But that doesn't mean that this won't be a complete 40-minute war. This Tennessee team is for real, but so is Creighton. Get your popcorn ready because this is going to be a great game. I can't wait to be courtside on the call.